The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Here we go. Great. So, a warm welcome to you, or a cool welcome, if that would be welcome, if it's summer and something cool would be refreshing. So a refreshing welcome to you. Warm, cool, whatever your heart needs in this moment, your body needs in this moment. Lovely to be with you from around the world in this moment in time and to practice together. So we've been going through the Brahmaviharas one by one. We went through metta. Now we're going through karuna, compassion. And we are lingering with self-compassion for a few sessions. So tonight we'll do self-compassion in a different way than we've done the past couple of sessions. Because you can never have enough self-compassion. It's really the salve. It's the support in many ways. It's the support for many of the other practices, because when we fill our own cups with care, with metta, with compassion, self-compassion, self-metta, then we can be more available for the world and there is less neediness. Love me, take care of me, take care of me. We can take care of our own heart. And a sense of resilience can also build. So, self-compassion. So one thing that sometimes comes up when we try to practice self-compassion is this voice that says, oh, if you're too compassionate, if you're compassionate to yourself, then you won't get anything done. You'll just become a couch potato. So you have to be hard on yourself to get yourself accomplishing things that you need to accomplish in life. And that's unfortunately not the voice of wisdom. It's more the voice of fear. And it's very common. It's very common. Plenty of work and research has been done on this. And it's very common, having practiced it myself, self-compassion practices, and also having taught it to many people, it often comes up. There's a sense of suspicion of self-compassion as weakening. It'll make me too weak in so many ways. And this is one story. So I invite you to distinguish between when something is challenging and there is suffering, for us to hold ourselves with care for the suffering that is happening, for the suffering that's arising for us in our heart, emotionally, in our bodies, etc., as a way to support and empower us to be in our power, to really be a sense of, when I actually say it, I want to sit up straighter because I'm holding myself in compassion, in my own care. There's a sense of empowerment, of care and love. And this feeling that, oh, sweetie, this hurts and it's okay. It's okay. And an empowerment to actually take on things that are more challenging instead of, if I was beating myself up, say I'm hurting, say something has been challenging, let's say I didn't get what I wanted to get done today, and now I'm beating myself up. Oh, you're no good. You're a loser. You never complete your deadlines. Ouch, ouch, ouch. That feels very belittling. It feels, I'm feeling even more hurt. Now I want to go and crawl under the covers and not talk to anyone. And so it diminishes me. It makes me even more powerless. Whereas a sense of, oh, okay, I messed up. Oh, that feels really bad. Okay, sweetie, I realize various things that were going on And also, yeah, maybe you didn't do your best. I still love you. I still love you. I still care for you. And yes, maybe you didn't have to watch Netflix for 2 hours. Maybe that was not a good, maybe we should just not do that. Yeah, you're right. Okay. But it's okay. I still care for you. And okay, let's try to do better. So there's a different kind of a narrative. There's a different kind of an attitude that self-compassion can bring in. And I bring this up because it has come up before, both here and whenever I teach it, of course, this comes up as does self-compassion make me a couch potato? So I invite you to experiment with these different narratives and see how actually it's not about self-compassion is not about lying on the sofa and eating bonbons. It's not about cutting yourself complete slack in every matter. It's about caring for yourself and taking more responsibility in many ways. So, all right. So let's get started. Without further ado, let's practice self-compassion in a different way tonight. So I'd like to invite you to get into your meditation posture. As always, we start by the breath, with the breath and the body. Landing and settling. Landing in the body with the breath, receiving the breath, tethering the attention. Tethering the awareness. With the breath, with the movement of the in-breath and the out-breath in the body. The entire breath. Entire body of the breath, in breath and out breath, and the pauses, tethering awareness to the breath in the body. Letting go of thoughts, memories, conversations. Realizing you don't need to have them right now. Giving yourself to this practice. Giving your heart to this moment. Inviting your attention to be tethered, to accompany the breath intimately. Not leaving the breath as if your life depended on it. As if your liberation depended on it. Now I'd like to invite you to bring to mind a being that represents unconditional love for you. It could be a living being in your life, someone who's passed away, a human, a pet, or an archetype. Could be Kuan Yin, representation of compassion, or the Buddha, or Jesus, the being of light, whatever works for you, and represents complete acceptance and unconditional love. Could even be the sun. The ocean, a well-rooted tree. Bring to mind this being. Let yourself feel being in their presence. How their love, acceptance, compassion, care. Is boundless, not conditional. In their presence, you feel completely loved and accepted. There's nothing you have to do or accomplish. Or be in any particular way. Their love, acceptance is on. Conditional. And if you start doubting yourself, don't get in your own way. Trust that they see your goodness. They see you. They see aspects of you. The beauty. The unfathomability of you. The ways perhaps you can't quite grasp yourself. And who are you to get in your own way? Get in the way of this being that is you and greater than you. Allowing yourself to receive and be held. Feeling safe, loved, completely appreciated. And this being, this compassionate, loving being, imagine they know the complete story of your life, your strengths, your beauty, your values, and your foibles. They know your struggles. And they love you. with each breath receiving this unconditional love. As you are in the presence of this compassionate being, continuing to soak up, soak in unconditional love and care. I invite you to bring up something in your heart that's challenging for you right now. And if you're new to the practice, maybe not the most challenging aspect of your life right now. Bringing up. Something that's challenging. It's been hard for you. To bring it up as if you are putting it on the lap of this being, letting it be held by them with care, compassion. They see you. They know this hurts. They know this is hard for you. This is challenging. They hold the pain with you, acknowledging that this is hard. And hold it with so much gentleness, love, and care. Hold you tenderly. the steadiness, the strength of their love, their compassion. Let it awaken your own care and compassion for yourself, the strength of your own affection, warmth, care. So that you are holding this challenge, this pain, this sorrow, this difficulty. With the strength of love and care, compassion for yourself. Feeling the empowerment of not just the compassionate being, but your own love and care for yourself. You can lean into what aspect, whichever aspect supports you most in this practice right now, leaning into the compassionate image, being held in their love and care, your challenge being held by them compassionately, or leaning more into your own compassion awakened lovingly, powerfully for yourself. Or divided 50-50. Feel free to experiment. For the last moments of this practice period, holding yourself with care and affection, with compassion for whatever arose or did not arise during this practice period. If the mind was busy, wandering, or sleepy, or if challenges came up during the practice, it's okay. See if it can be held with love, instead of judgment. You've done your best. Given all the causes and conditions, dear, you've done your best. Noticing how empowering compassion, love can be. For yourself. And opening up your circle of affection and care and compassion for all those who are practicing with you in this moment. All of us human beings with our challenges, pains and sorrows, this human condition, doing our best. And extending further to all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere feel safe. May they be free from harm. May they be free from sorrow, challenges, and difficulties. May they all have peace and ease with any challenges, difficulties they are facing. Thank you. Thank you all for your practice. So, I'd love to invite you, if you'd like to share any reflections or questions, comments, complaints, it's all okay. You can type it in chat if you wish, or raise your hand, and you can raise your hand by going to reactions. Or go to participants, depending on the version that you have. And especially if you haven't shared for a while. Jeannie, I see your physical hand up. And if you could raise your Zoom hand, then I could actually, let's see here. Da, da, da. Okay, you can unmute yourself. There you go, Jeannie.
Okay, thank you very much, Nikki.
Sure.
Oh, it's lovely. I found that, to my kind of delighted surprise, that I myself could give me the compassion that, you know, I was at the beginning, I searched, you know, for different beings, faces, people I've known. And, but then it came down to me, and that was strong. That was very strong. And I was delightfully surprised. So thank you for helping me find that.
Yay! Yay! I'm cheering for you, Jeannie. Yay! What a delight. What a delight to find that within. What a delight. Beautiful. What you just shared reminds me of a line of poem by Hafez in Farsi. It's roughly translated to the you know, we often beg strangers, whereas we actually we often beg strangers, whereas we have this this gem, the gem, this whole all these gems within our own hearts. So looking outside, looking inside, it's already here. That gem of compassion and love, it's already here. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Jeannie. Lovely. Yeah. Reflection from one person who says, Nikki, this was transformational for me. I felt I was relaxing in a healing way that I have not experienced before. Thank you. You are very welcome. I'm cheering you on also, dear one, dear practitioner. And by the way, if you send reflections to me directly, I won't say your name. But if you send into everyone, then I'll say your name out loud. This is what I'm starting to do. Emily says, I found saying this is hard to myself instead of the usual critical and self-judging thoughts has been really helpful. I've taken on Nikki's challenge from last week. Yay, Emily, that's great. That makes me very happy. Yay, that's awesome. And I'm so glad you're finding it supportive. And really helpful. It's fantastic. It brings me so much joy and delight. Thank you. And Violet says, I tried to give compassion to myself for a small problem, being behind in grading. But I found it extremely challenging, almost like the smaller the challenge, the easier it is to invalidate myself. Oh, interesting. That's a very interesting observation. So is it okay if I ask you what was the challenging aspect of it? And you're welcome to unmute yourself if you wish. What, yeah.
It's like, oh, it would have been so easy for you to grade this morning instead of going on Facebook. It's just like so easy for me to like try and correct what I did instead of like accept what I did.
I see. I see. Interesting. So, okay. So, yeah. So here's what I suggest working with it in this way, because in some ways, small, big, this is a stand-in maybe for something else too. So here's what I would suggest. There is pain right now, right? There is a pain of, oh, I'm behind in grading. This hurts, right? So for a moment, I'm going to suggest separating it from judging yourself in the morning and just feel like, oh, this is painful. Being behind is painful. So can you, for a moment in your mind, just separate these two for a moment? Yes. See, you're nodding. Yes. Okay. So, and can there, and we'll get to the taking responsibility in a moment, but is it okay to say, oh, this is really painful right now. Ouch, sweetie. Ouch. This hurts. This is, and for a moment, yeah, to keep it separated for a moment. Like, oh, sweetie, this is hard. This is painful. I don't like this situation. This is, ouch.
It's interesting. I have so much aversion to feeling that I would rather beat myself up over not grading than actually feel that hurt.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so there's something there. I invite you to feel into, have a question mark. Why is that? Because feeling that hurt and having compassion to that for that, then the next step would be to actually take responsibility. Okay, well, that wasn't very wise, and instead of beating yourself up. So I'm going to leave this as an inquiry to see why is it so difficult to let yourself feel and be and hold that with care, with kindness. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing this up. Powerful. Yeah. So, okay, dear ones, let's see anything else here. Okay, so let's wait more reflections. We'll after we come back from groups, attend to more. But so here's the invitation before you sign off. If you have to go, it's perfectly fine. But if you're signing off out of fear of not interacting with other human beings, believe me, they're really, really nice. The Sangha is really, really nice. So, and challenge yourself. Extend your limits a little bit. If it scares you, stay and see. It's not that sc it's what scares us, what's difficult to be with sometimes, that can actually be a gift of grace if we stay with it, if we touch into it. So the invitation for the small groups is start again with 30 seconds of silent metta, silent compassion for each other, just silently, as if you are each other's compassionate being, giving and knowing that you're also receiving, others are giving it to you, giving and receiving. And then you're welcome to share if you wish, as much or as little as you want, supporting each other, which I know naturally comes up in these groups. So with that, I'm going to create the breakout rooms and hope that you can stay and practice together. Okay, here we go. Opening the rooms now. For any reflections you may like to share from the group, so the or the practice, and one reflection also I wanted to share before we went in to groups. Ben typed the the part of self who berates, the part of self who comforts, which one of them actually wants you to succeed? Rhetorical, inspired by the book There Is Nothing Wrong With You by Cherry Huber. I love that question. Which part of you actually, which one of them wants you to succeed? The part of you that berates or the part of you that comforts? And what brings up for me is, you know, if you have this boss who berates you, this manager who just berates every time you make the smallest mistake, berates you, another boss that understands but really expects, is kind but expects the best of you, you'll probably be you'll be burnt out by the first boss. You'll be living in fear of being let go of, being fired any moment, and you'll have a nervous breakdown probably. But the second boss, you may want to actually work for them and do your best anyway. Some reflections on that. Thanks for sharing that, Ben. So, your turn, please. What's up? Thank you for the reflections that are coming, the gratitudes and blessings coming in chat. Maybe we'll take one verbal reflection if you haven't shared for a while. Yes, Mary, please.
So this is my second time with you on Happy Hour. And in the small group, which I always find so powerful to be in small groups with strangers, I came to this question of the grief that I'm encountering and is it okay to be with the, is it okay for the grief to be okay? I don't know if I'm making any sense, but that there's so much grief. How can it be okay for there to be so much grief? You know, how can I be okay when there is so much grief? Not just my grief, but all the grief. And I feel like that's a place where I'm stuck.
Yeah.
That it's not okay for me to be okay.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that in. So here's the invitation for maybe a different way to see it is, you know, one view, as you were saying, is that the grief is, there's so much grief, not just my grief, not just your grief, but so much grief in the world. Is it okay to be okay with so much grief? Oh, it feels so overwhelming. It's just, oh, one wants to hang one's head and just like, enough. This is just so much. Is it okay to even be okay with it all? Is it? That's what I'm hearing you say. Yeah. Right. So the perspective I want to, so that's one perspective, that it's sorrow and suffering. That's just senseless. And it's not okay to be with any sorrow and suffering because it's unjustified, it's unjustifiable. There's no point. It's extra. There's no point. It's suffering and more sorrow. So I would say there are two types of suffering, and I'll come back to the word grief for a moment. I'm going to use suffering. There is suffering that is just causes more suffering and sorrow. And then there is suffering that leads to the end of suffering. As Ajahn Chah, I think, beautifully said, this forest master, I hope I'm attributing this correctly. But so there are two different kinds of suffering. There are two different kinds of grief. And what makes the difference between the two is how we hold it, is how we see it, is how we relate to it. And I'm going to say something that's going to sound radical and strange, but I will say it nevertheless, drop it in, and that there is grace and beauty and meaning in grief. And so much more, and so much more. So opening up to the possibility of its transformational power to serve one and to serve everyone, to serve the world. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you all. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for being part of Happy Hour, sharing yourself, supporting each other. May all beings everywhere be free. May all beings everywhere be happy, including ourselves. Thank you all. And now I will